Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events.
Thank you for making Illinois Family Spotlight a part of your day. I am Alyssa Sonnenberg, and I'm co-hosting today with Dave Smith, as you know, Monty Larrick, our longstanding producer and host and everything of this podcast, retired last year. So we are trying to fill his very big shoes. And we are joined here today by a very special guest, Elmi Patton. She is the executive director of the Pregnancy Resource Center in Springfield called First Step Women's Center. Elmi, thank you so much for joining us and tell us a little bit more about your ministry.
Thank you so much for having me. It's definitely an honor for me to be here and share. I was telling the girls that I was recording a podcast today, and they're like, oh, how does that work? I said, I have no idea. here we go. So First Step Women's Center was founded by Debbie Schultz and her husband, Tim. And it's next year will be our 20th anniversary. So we've been around Springfield for quite some time. We started in a tiny little home that was 900 square feet. And it has grown into where we are now, a medical center. And we're pretty well known in the area. At least we have been working on being more visible and known in the community so that needs us can find us. So we have started just as a center where women could come in. We counsel and help, and just we're there just to help. We just wanted to help. And so it has grown now to where we are able to provide free pregnancy tests that is administered by, we have two nurses on staff. We have a medical director, Dr. Calvin Bell. And all of our services is under his supervision. And we provide ultrasounds if the tests are positive. We provide STD testing and treatment for the ladies as well as their partners. We also have, then we do options counseling with them and talk to them about all their options. And, you know, we just try to be a resource for them and help them navigate this difficult decision that they're in. Sometimes they just need to hear that they're not alone. And sometimes they need a little bit of direction. And sometimes they need some resources in the community. So our goal is not to duplicate any services that are provided in Sangamon County. Our goal is if there is a service that are already provided, we connect them with that service. And we've grown and have gotten to be, have a lot of partners in the community that is able to provide services to our patients. We provide follow-up appointments up to four times. We want them to see the baby grow. We want them to see every week, you know, in those first few weeks that baby doubles in size every week. And so we bring them back every week so they can see that growth, see the heartbeat. We also started a men's ministry. So we have a, we have some gentlemen that hangs out, and when there's a dad, they have a conversation with the dad because we want to be sure that the dads know that they have a voice.
Well, tell us a little bit about you and what drew you personally into this kind of work.
So I was born and raised in South Africa, and I'm an occupational therapist by trade. I came here to work many years ago, and I met my husband here, and we got married. And at the time, he had a daughter, so I have a stepdaughter that was an unplanned pregnancy. My husband himself was adopted and was an unplanned pregnancy, and then our son is adopted, was an unplanned pregnancy. So I always tell people it's really important to me. It's really not just because of my faith, but also for my family, because my husband was born just a year before Roe v. Wade. And so he probably would have been aborted if that law had already passed. And then my son and my daughter, I'm always thankful to their bio moms for choosing life for them, because if they could all have chosen abortion, I would have zero family. It's really important to me. And I feel honored to be able to do this on a daily basis and I was on the board for many years prior to taking the executive director position and say, I love doing therapy, but this is definitely my heart.
I think in the pro-life community, we hear a lot that women are so much more likely to choose life when they see their ultrasound. Can you speak a little bit of your firsthand experience in Springfield specifically of women you service and their demeanor changing after that first appointment?
You know, sometimes when they come to us, sometimes they're very, very early. We can just barely pick up the heartbeat and they can see the heartbeat. But even at that place, when they see the heartbeat, I've seen them. I love being able to be the chaperone in the ultrasound room and just watch them and see them. And they're just shocked. Or if they're a little bit later, that's an entire baby in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. That's an entire
baby in there. You are pregnant.
We let them watch the heartbeat, not hear it. But they don't really see the difference. Once they see that heartbeat, because you can really see that little flicker in there, even at 6 weeks, and they see that and their demeanor does change. Sometimes they start crying. They're definitely touched by that in a very real way. We've had women that said, you know, I didn't realize. I thought I could just take the abortion pill and this would be over. I didn't realize, you know, that is already, you know, that's a date. Yeah, that's not, there's a heartbeat, you know, it's definitely a surprising thing for them to see. And then the other thing that's really cool about the ultrasound, as we bring them back week after week and they can see that growth and doubling in size. So if they come when they're 6 weeks and they come when they're 10 weeks, it goes from being a tiny little Cheerio to a full baby. Yeah, it's definitely. We've had women come all core appointments, still not knowing what they're going to do. And then, you know, when we follow up with them and we call them for their entire pregnancy, they're like, yeah, after I saw that baby grow, I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, I mean, I've been pro-life my whole life. And, you know, when my husband and I found out we were pregnant last year, you know you're pregnant, but there's really not much going on in your body. You don't really have the symptoms until, you know, 8 to 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. So our first appointment, I will never forget. I was 7 weeks and one day, and this little blip, you know, shows up on their sonogram with this little flicker of a heartbeat. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's actually a baby. Right. And, you know, like I said, I've always been pro-life, but I'll never forget that first appointment of it just being life-changing that there's actually a person I'm carrying. And then the ultrasound appointments after that, watching her grow, and now she's 10 months old, and I'm looking at her old sonograms and I'm like, oh my goodness, she used to be the size of a bean and now she's so tall. You know, it's just amazing.
Right. Sometimes I think about it kind of like when you get saved. I grew up in church. I grew up Sunday school. I had to do all of it. I never had a choice. You get up on Sunday mornings, you go to church. It wasn't, are we? Do you feel like it? It just was the way it was. And then when that drop goes from your head to your heart and you really understand the impact and you really get that, I almost feel like it's like that. Yeah, it's a miracle.
Are people, your clients, kind of surprised when they learn how many different resources are available to them through your ministry?
They really are. That's a good way to say it, Dave. They really are. We have a huge binder and we have one person that is dedicated to following up with these resources and making sure that what they say they're providing is still active before we refer people. We have liaisons at churches. We try to connect them with the church so that, you know, we want that discipleship to continue on.
That's awesome.
That we start here. And a lot of times we had a young lady, she was actually thinking about doing her option she was considering was adoption, not abortion. But once we showed her all the resources and she was able to realize all the things that she could get, she chose to parent, you know, and which I know you're an adoptive parent as well. And we love that. But that is always the goal, is for them to parent their children, you know, for us. So it is really amazing to see and for them to understand that these services are available. They just don't know. So connecting them. We also started calling the resources on their behalf to cut away that, oh, I got to call, I got to wait online, I got to, you know, and to try to make it easier for them even more so that these organizations reach out to them instead.
That's great. Because I think one of the biggest arguments of the pro-abortion side is you guys only care about the women when they're pregnant. You don't care about the baby after it's born. Right. And I just think what you just said is such a testament to the falsity of that claim that no, you guys very much so care about the baby and the mom afterwards. You know, you're providing them with so many resources. You're getting them into churches that are going to shepherd them and care for them. And that's just so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how big is the challenge for you guys, you know, your ministry awareness in the community that you serve? You know, I know people up in the Chicagoland area who did not know that, you know, pregnancy resource centers were a thing. They had no idea.
Yeah. You know, that is a continuous struggle. In fact, I just had a conversation with one of our volunteer advocates yesterday. She said, I met this guy that works at the St. John's Hospital, and he's a director of a department, and he didn't know you existed. And I said, you know, that is an ongoing problem that we have. And we that is, you know, opportunities like this, any type of opportunity that I have where I can tell people more about who we are and what we do. You know, we appreciate that so much. I like to visit churches. And with us being able to be more in the community, anytime there's a health fair or any event like that, we have a booth and we tell.
That's a great idea.
Our philosophy really is that we are here to support them and to love them, even if they don't choose life.
So one of the hopes that we have is that to highlight what you're doing and make people aware of good pregnancy resource centers. And so what is your website and where can they find you on the internet?
Right. So we actually have two websites. We have our firststepwomencenter.org website. Okay. And that is really for patients. It talks about abortion. It talks about all the things that we want them to know and how they can make an appointment and all that. And then we have another website called Life 217. And that is more for people like you and me, where we want to see, is there a way we can donate? Can we volunteer? When's their banquet? And situations like that. So we try to separate those two out, because when women are in crisis, we wanted to be very clear that we are here for them no matter what. It's clear on there that we do not perform or refer for abortions. However, we do provide them with as much information and education as possible.
Do you do diaper drives or March for Life or fundraising events? What do you do to help sustain what you're doing?
Yeah. So fundraising, our two main fundraisers is we do a baby bottle campaign throughout the entire year. We allow groups, churches, whoever wants to participate, they can pick their own time of the year that works in their schedule. When I first started, the very first pastor I talked to about the baby bottle, he's like, oh, we can't do it in February. We have our missions month that month. And I thought, you know, every church, every denomination is different. I'll just let them pick and let them do whenever they want to. So we have that throughout the year. And a lot of that is also for awareness. Our main event is our big banquet in the fall. And that's really the only fundraisers that we do. We send out newsletters. People send us money when they get the newsletters sometimes. People ask me where you get the difference from what you raise at the banquet versus your operating. I mean, the banquet's about 2/3 of. And I said, I don't know. It comes in the mail. People love what we do and they support us and they pray for us. And
do you encourage regular giving, like monthly giving?
Yes, we do have monthly giving. We have one-time giving. I always tell people, I'll take your money any which way you like to give it. Some of it is IRA distributions. We have grants. Sure. We do have some churches that support us very, very well. On our website, there's all different ways that you can donate.
So with the growing use of chemical abortion, Does that present a unique challenge for you at the Pregnancy Resource Center? And how do you deal with that?
You know, it really does. So what we did to help to combat that, when girls reach us, so they can reach us through our website. We have a 24/7 nurse chat line that they can reach us through. When they reach out and they strictly ask for the abortion pill, we have a little bit of different of a script that we follow for that. And we try to get them in for a telecare appointment. You know, at first, that's what they were doing for the online pills. Now they just mail them. They don't really care how they do it. But we try to schedule them for a telecare appointment. It's 15 minutes. We just want to talk to them. We want to make that connection and try to get them to come in. So we explain to them the importance of making sure you have a viable pregnancy prior to actually having the abortion. In fact, we just had a patient. I love sharing stories. I hope that's okay. We had a patient recently that she actually ended up having a negative test. And what she said, she went to an abortion clinic here in Springfield. They told her they didn't do a pregnancy test. They didn't do an ultrasound. She just needed to take the abortion pill and it'll be all over. God intervened and she had forgotten her Medicaid card at home. So they wouldn't see her. So she had to come back. And instead of going back to them, she came to us instead. Well, lo and behold, her test was negative. She wasn't even pregnant.
Wow.
So wow. She was so thankful, you know, she was so, so thankful because she said, I was going to take those pills today, but instead I forgot my card. I came here and I'm not even pregnant. And she's, I didn't want to have an abortion, but I felt like I didn't have an option.
Wow.
Which I hear a lot. And so she would have taken those pills. And unfortunately, women are taking, there's actually, you know, there's been studies done now where it's more like 10% of women that are having side effects and negative complications from taking the abortion pill. And we've heard horror stories about that. But our main thing that we try to do is we try to bring them in as early as possible. And then we try to slow them down. You know, because taking that abortion pill, they just order it and take it. And if we can just slow them down for a minute so we can make sure, one, that they have a viable pregnancy, and two, just breathe because you have options. It has had a positive effect on that, trying to get to those ladies.
So what is the radius of your ministry?
Yeah, so our main area is Sangamon County. That's where most of our...
Okay, the whole county. That's great.
From Sangamon County area. We see patients from Beardstown, Jacksonville, are the outskirts. We've had patients come 2 or 3 hours away. It's interesting. Sometimes we have people that comes from Decatur, even though there's a wonderful center in Decatur, but they don't want to go to the center in their town because they don't want somebody to know them.
Oh, that makes sense. I know that this work can be very heavy. How do you and the staff there avoid getting burned out and stay grounded? How do you stay grounded?
You know, that is definitely a thing. It really is something that, and I do feel, I do take that responsibility. One, we make sure that we stay strong in the word. We have a Bible study. We have a prayer time. We have a time where we share, do life together and share our, you know, concerns and our prayers and so forth. We have monthly prayer meetings. We open the center for prayer for any group or church or can come in at any time. Schedule a prayer and they walk through the building and they pray in each of the rooms. I truly believe if it wasn't for that foundation of prayer and Jesus that we have as a staff and as a volunteer base, yeah, we would fail. I have no doubt about that.
This is first and foremost a spiritual battle.
100%.
Well, that's good to hear. If somebody listening to this podcast wants to help, what's the most meaningful way they can get involved and make a difference?
Well, you know, I always tell people first, as we just talked about prayer, if you can pray for us,
amen.
Then anything, you know, sometimes you feel like that's a cliche to say that, but it is really 100% true. We know that we cannot change one single girl's mind. We know that the Holy Spirit and only He can change their minds. So we definitely covet prayer. We do have lots of volunteer opportunities. People can help with fundraisers in the center. I still need some male advocates to talk to the dads. I have positions open for that. Financially, you know, it's helpful to keep the lights on and the doors open so that we can continue to do the work.
Tell us your website one more time.
So the website for supporters is life217.org. And then if you are a person that needs an appointment with us, it's firststepwomenscenter.org. Also, we started doing better. I hired a Gen Zer, okay? So, we now are live on Facebook, and she's making amazing posts for us on Facebook, like three. I can't even come up with one post, okay? So if you... A place to keep up to date and see stories and things that are happening is on Facebook, and it's Life217 is our Facebook page.
I love it. That's great.
Thank you, Elmi, for joining us today. It's always so encouraging to listen to the pro-life work that's going on across our state. You know, Illinois is known as one of the biggest abortion centers in the nation of people traveling to Illinois for the purpose of having their children killed. And it's just so wonderful to listen to little groups across our state that are really working in their communities to help women. So thank you so much for joining us. It was a great conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I had it's definitely fun to make a podcast. I didn't know.
Well, good meeting you, Elmi. God bless you.
This is an Illinois Family Institute, illinoisfamily.org update.
Illinois Family Institute has officially partnered with the Greater Than Campaign in their mission to overturn the devastating Obergefell decision. When Obergefell was passed, it was thought as this big win for adult equality. After all, don't homosexual couples just want the same tax breaks and legal rights as heterosexual couples? But what Obergefell also did was it opened the door for not only marriage to be rewritten and perverted, but also for parenthood to be redefined entirely. But moms and dads are not optional. They are not interchangeable. And every measurable marker proves that children need their mom and their dad. For the last decade, children have been stripped of their fundamental human right to their mother and their father. But enough is enough. The rights of children are more important than the desires of adults. Stand with the movement to overturn Obergefell. Go to greaterthancampaign.com to join.
Need somewhere to belong? Try here. We're socialites. Find us at socialites.blog. We aim to cultivate meaningful friendships and create places for people to come together face to face.
We do weekly group, Bible study groups, swing dancing. We even do bonfires on occasion.
We also connect churches via their YA groups in the Chicagoland area.
We want to be the answer to the question of, where do you even meet people anymore? Come find us at socialites.blog. Check out some of the events we got going or any of the groups that we host regularly.
Socialites.blog.
All right. Welcome back to the second half of the Illinois Family Spotlight. We're staying with Pregnancy Resource Center Highlights. And this part of the podcast, I am joined by my co-host, Jenna Smith, who's also the editor of this podcast. And we are joined by Kimberly Messa, who is the executive director of Southside Pregnancy Center. And full disclosure, I grew up in Mount Greenwood, so I am very familiar with this great ministry on 95th Street in Evergreen Park. It's a wonderful ministry. Welcome and thank you for joining us, Kim.
Thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate the invitation.
Well, tell us about Southside Pregnancy Center and what you do there, and maybe even what drew you into doing the good work there at SPC, as we call it.
Southside Pregnancy Center has been in existence for this year. It will be 42 years.
42, wow.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's amazing. And so our goal is to help women that find themselves in crisis pregnancies by offering them the hope and healing that's available in Jesus Christ. And so we provide for their needs by in our clinic, which is Southside Women's Services. Every woman is provided with a free pregnancy test. She is counseled by our advocate, where she is educated about her pregnancy options. We get an assessment for her in terms of her vulnerability, how vulnerable she is to abortion, by looking at the different factors in her lives and the different stressors. And then she receives, by our nurse, a medical grade pregnancy test. And then if that test is positive, she will have an assessment done by the nurse. If she meets the medical qualifications, she will receive an ultrasound. And so all of this is done. She could see the humanity in her child. She could see that there's hope. No matter what her situation and her circumstances, we counsel her in a non-judgmental environment with care and love and respect. We don't try to hide any information with her. We're very honest and forthcoming. But we understand that this is her decision to make. We want her to have all of the information and facts available so she can choose life for a baby, because we believe most women, when given the support and given the facts, she will choose life. So,
amen.
Our support parenting program is called Elevate, and we provide material help, relational help, spiritual help. So our program is an earn and learn program where our moms can take pregnancy courses, they can take courses on parenting, they can take courses on how to budget. And so we have a variety of information that we give them. But what's really needed, I find, is care. Someone to walk alongside of them. A lot of our moms wow. have varying levels of support. And so if a woman feels as though she's supported and loved and cared for, she can walk through just about anything. Our program is earn and learn. So we feel that by earning the right to shop in our baby boutique and mommy market, that empowers her. So she does not feel like she's beholden to us. That helps her in her journey as a woman to be independent. And our goal is really to help her to mother her child and to love her child, to be the best parent she can be, but also to grow. We offer, in addition to the parenting classes, we offer a mom's group. We have a cooking class, and we also have Bible study. In our Bible study, our moms get to really know about how the Lord loves them and cares for them and cares for their family, that they can build the family that he wants them to have. They can experience that abundant life that Jesus provides. And so Amen. Our goal is just to walk alongside.
So you were talking about, you know, how important care is. If somebody is walking along the woman who's in this pregnancy, maybe unexpected pregnancy, there's a role for the church here, right? There's a role for mentors. If somebody come on into their lives and to disciple them in the faith.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what our care counselors do in our parenting program. We have client mentors, and they'll check up on the mom and see how she's doing and go over the lessons. And then with all of our lessons, though, there is a spiritual component. So not every woman who comes to our program is a Christian. And so while we don't demand that she be one, we want to encourage her because we know that there's life and hope in Jesus. And Amen. So it's a good opportunity to, when she shares about what she's going through, you can offer to pray for her. And right. honestly, it's exceedingly rare when you offer to pray for a mom that she refuses.
Well, and Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. So talking about somebody to walk alongside of us, right?
I would just love to know, what is a story that really deeply impacted you to start this work? What got you into Southside?
So my former pastor, Ricky Guyton, was active in the pro-life movement. As a Christian, we knew that it was important to obey God and really have his outlook in terms of what life is and when it begins. But it was he that really drew our attention to Southside and really challenged and encouraged us to not just think about being pro-life, but to actually do something about it and to become active rescuing people who can't defend themselves, who are the most defenseless, and loving the woman. I started out with Southside Pregnancy Center as a supporter and a donor doing Hike for Lives over 30 years ago. And never would I have ever dreamt that I would be in this position now, but the Lord has bigger plans. So for many years was a supporter and a donor and volunteered for a little bit of time before I had my four children. And then I came to work at Southside about 3 years ago as an admin slash advocate. So I was one of the people that would help and counsel the women who would come in for their pregnancy test. And then I transitioned to being the program coordinator of our parenting program, Elevate. And then I transitioned into becoming the COO and now the CEO. So again, God has bigger plans. And I'm thankful to be able to do this just because there's really nothing more important than seeing someone when they are hurting and struggling, giving them hope and introducing them to the Lord and just seeing them grow and develop. And in the process of doing all of that, you're saving not just that unborn baby's life, but that reverberates throughout generations. So Lord willing, in the kingdom, we'll see generations of people who have come to be because of the love and care that we show the women that come into our clinic. So it's a huge blessing.
That is such a beautiful thought where, you know, how many of these people are we going to see one day, and that people you've not realized were saved or touched through the ministry of Southside are going to be in heaven one day. What is a story that really impacted you, like a good testimony from somebody who was helped by Southside Pregnancy Center?
There was a young woman that came in quite a few months ago, not quite a year ago, but she was what we would call abortion determined, which means she came to our clinic with the intention of having an abortion. And she came in with her boyfriend. After speaking with her, we discovered the reason she wanted to abort was because her mother was forcing her. But that deep down, she really didn't want to. She felt pressured. Her boyfriend wanted her to have the baby and keep the baby. But she was conflicted because she loved her mother. She was taking care of her mother and also siblings. But we just shared with her how also is now a mother and how she has to fight for a baby and the life for a baby. And so she came back for a second ultrasound. And when we saw the initial ultrasound, she was further along than she had even thought she was. And so when she came back for her second appointment, she was running late and we didn't hear from her initially, so we weren't really sure what was going on. And then she called and said, "I'm running late. Please hold my spot. Can I still come?" And we told her, "Absolutely." So she came with her boyfriend, and when she came, she was wearing a long sleeve shirt. But then she showed me during the appointment, she had scratches on her arms and on her neck because she said her mother literally fought her. And she said, "I fought for the life of my baby." So she left her mother's house.
Wow.
Then came again for a third ultrasound. For the third ultrasound, she joined our parenting program. We provided her with clothing because, again, she had nothing. But she was determined after that second visit, "I'm going to have my baby." And also was convinced that God loved her and that God loved her baby and had a plan for her baby. And we prayed for her and prayed for her baby because we said, you know, there's so much opposition against you and this child right now, because it wasn't just her mother, it was her father, it was siblings. Everyone was telling her, "You need to get rid of this baby." And I said, "There's a plan for this child. This child is destined for something."
Praise God. Absolutely. That is so cool.
The funny thing about this, though, for the initial appointment, she was not originally on our books. She came to our door, and so we let her in. We had confused her with someone else. And then we were looking for her appointment. She said, "Yeah, I made an appointment." And we checked phone logs. We checked texts. She was not on our schedule. But God had her on our schedule.
That's for a reason.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. That'd be so fun to follow up with that client in the near future, in the future.
Absolutely. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. To see where that child goes. But so, Kim, one of the questions I have is, so what are some of the biggest myths or misunderstandings people have about pregnancy resource centers like Southside Pregnancy Center?
One of the biggest myths is that we use deception and that we try to trick or cajole or force women into a decision. And you literally cannot do that. You can't force anyone to do something that they don't want to do. But what we do is provide the women with information. And so, as I mentioned before, we educate her about her options. Abortion is an option. So we do tell her that, yes, abortion is an option, but we give her the facts surrounding abortion in terms of how it will affect the child, absolutely, but how it will affect her physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So we don't use scare tactics, but we do use documented evidence of the dangers of abortion. But again, we leave her free, armed with the information and the care to make her own decisions. That's one of the biggest myths.
Yep. Where do people find more information about Southside Pregnancy Center? And what kind of events do you have to raise money to keep this ministry running?
Well, we have a yearly event that we are in the midst of planning. And then our donor site is bavoiceforlife.org. And okay. People can learn more.
Life. Bavoiceforlife.org.
Correct. Bavoiceforlife.org. And that is our donor site where they can learn more about Southside Pregnancy Center. We do not accept government funds because we do not want to be hindered in our message.
That's right.
And so our main sources of funding are through the generosity of supporters and through grants.
Where can people go to on your website to donate online if they want to?
BeAVoiceForLife.org. That is our donor site.
Okay, same place.
And so, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, they can find out more information about us and also donate.
Jenna, you have any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I do not. I just want to say thank you so much for the work that you do and the way you're allowing God to use you and your hands and feet to be His ministry in the South Side of Chicago. We're so grateful for the work you do, and we're so grateful that you came on to the Spotlight Podcast. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. And until next time, stay healthy and stay active. And God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.